This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor. Zorba here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice, and some great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question for Zorba, call now at 1-800-462-7413. And, of course, Zorba, along with our calls, some interesting topics to talk over.
Yes, we're going to talk about word games. Can they predict your lifetime relationship? In other words, get married, play a word game. Can you predict satisfaction and longevity of that relationship?
Okay.
That would be kind of neat.
And?
Vitamin D, more on vitamin D. Vitamin D and cognitive decline. In other words, are low vitamin D levels associated with more dementia or inability to make sense of your world in senior citizens? Interesting, speculative, fantastic data about D that I think is critical.
Mm-hmm. And we have a recipe.
Salmon with pistachio, basil, olive oil. This recipe is delicious.
And this is an oldie and a goodie, a recipe from the vault. 800-462-7413. It's toll free. Oh, and don't forget about our medical myth buster coming up later in the hour. To the phones we go, Zorba. Our first caller, a listener in Cedar City, Utah. Hi.
Welcome. Hello. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha from Utah. You don't hear that every day.
Well, we're from there originally, that's why, and then we moved here 5 years ago.
Old habits don't die.
Yeah.
How can we help you?
Well, I've been doing the same repetitive motion for 20 years. I'm self-employed, and I've been real lucky as far as staying away from the carpal tunnel, as far as stretching, shaking my hands. However, this past 2 months, I think I've developed tendonitis in my left wrist, and so I'm trying to use the wrist splint and some home remedies as far as what I can find. But my girlfriend was saying, she said she got cortisone shots about 20 years ago. It's painful, but it helped her every few months getting the shots. I don't think I want shots. Is there hope after tendonitis?
What do you do for a living?
I'm a pet groomer.
Oh, use your hands a lot then.
Yes, yes. But this time, I don't know what to do. It's manageable, and I'll take some a leave. But, I just want to make sure it doesn't get any worse because I was told by a friend that you have to either stop the motion, which is out of the question because I'm not ready to retire.
Oh, of course, of course. Carpal tunnel is kind of interesting. It's become really the most common disabling symptom after low back pain in America. Really, not because there are more pet groomers out there, but because there are more people working on computers. Mm-hmm. And for computers, it's really pretty easy. You say computer people who are using their computers all the time, you put up a gel strip, and for some of them, that will help it. Carpal tunnel is really the nerve. What you may be doing is something called De Quervain syndrome, or there's a syndrome which is called gamekeeper's thumb. Tom is now shrugging and going, where did that come from? And you can tell it obviously was from the 1600s and
1700s. And what was the word again?
Gamekeeper's thumb.
Ah, but you said another word before that.
De Quervain's, which I can never pronounce well,
okay,
and can hardly spell. But if you go to zorbapastor.org, we will definitely put a link on there.
Okay.
But getting back to the treatment for this, sometimes a steroid shot around the tendon into the tendon, one or two injections can definitely help this. Just like steroid shots can help trigger finger, and some steroid shots can help carpal tunnel syndrome, steroid shots can definitely help this. And I would try that before I would try anything else. Before that, have you gone to physical therapy to look at any exercises that you can do for this?
No, not really. I have not.
You might want to consider that because sometimes a good physical therapist will look at what you're doing. They'll do an analysis, basically, of the action you're doing when you're grooming, give you some suggestions, give you exercises that you can do with these little rubber band things. And I would go to that before I would do the injection.
Excellent.
I would try that.
And if I do the injections, is there any kind of side effects?
There are always side effects. I like to think about the fact that there are always two worlds to drugs, the good world and the bad world.
Yeah.
The good world is what we want the drug to do. The bad world is what the drug does that we don't want it to do.
Right.
Steroids can weaken tendons if they're used too often. That's what they do. On the other hand, steroids can allow us to function without having surgery. Surgery has complications too. Having the pain has complications. You can't do your job. On the whole, one or two injections, I think, are pretty safe.
Great.
Now I've got a question. You've been in the dog grooming business for how long?
20 years.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite dog? Now be careful. Tom has one dog. I have another one.
Well, you know what? Living here in this town, it's like Shih Tzus and Schnauzers. That's what it's like, Shih Tzus and Schnauzers. So I love them. I love them all. But I'm going to be honest with you. I actually prefer cats.
Oh, no. Yeah. Bad for business and good for your life. Well, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome. Enjoy your program.
Thank you very much. Now, Zorba, do you know the specific derivation of gamekeeper's thumb?
Well, we'll put it on the website. I really don't remember. I don't remember the derivation,
I have a better idea. Yeah, let's hear from the listeners. Yeah. There's some, sure.
Absolutely.
Who will know.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking game, maybe
that's
hunting somehow or other is involved in this thumb, but
I don't know if it was breaking a neck or something like on this, you know, game.
We'll find out.
I bet you, we don't just have grammar police on our show. We also have intelligent public radio listeners who are filled with information, and we're looking for gamekeeper's thumb derivation. I bet you someone out there knows the answer.
800-462-7413, our toll-free number, 800-462-7413. Now, Zorba, we welcome a listener in Fernandina Beach, Florida. Hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, speaking of intelligent callers, I was listening to the previous caller. Can you say Shih Tzu on the air?
You know what? I don't know whether or not we're going to be dinked by whatever. What is the federal organization that does that?
Luckily, we have a 7-second delay, so we don't have to worry about it.
FCC. The FCC. That's right. I hope we're not fined.
How can we help you?
Calling about a drinking water. About a year and a half ago, my dentist had told us that we need to keep a close eye on our body pH. He said in some countries it was as important as blood pressure and your body temperature, and he was helping us, with that being too acidic is bad for your teeth enamel, and he was saying that there's a lot of other diseases and things that are encouraged by, being too acidic. And just by coincidence, about 3 or 4 months later, we had this person introduce us to a water machine that sits on our kitchen counter and plugs into our sink, and then it has a little spigot come out. And what it does was produce a very high pH alkaline water. And it has all kinds of claims of things that pH high pH water does for you, that's good for you. And it also, they showed us with a little electronic meter that the water comes out with a high positive charge as opposed to, some other things like, for instance, soda was a very high negative charge. And the only thing that I know absolutely for sure is I'm one of those people that has just chronic heartburn, and just live with it for years and wake up at night a couple of times with it and several times during the day. And when this guy was showing me the machine, I started, start drinking the water. So I'm drinking it, and after about 30 minutes of his presentation, my heartburn is gone. And we took several jugs of, the high alkaline water with us. And as long as I was drinking the water, I never had heartburn. And the day that we ran out of the water, I'm driving back to this guy's house to get more water, and I burped. And the heartburn comes back.
Well, I think I can. I think I can guess Zorba's response to this. But let me preempt what his first question will be. How much did this thing cost?
$1,200.
$1,200. Now,
It's not a filter.
I understand. $1,200. So let's talk about the pH of water. The pH of water is 7. That's by definition. Water is not alkaline, and it's not acidic. It's 7. It's neither alkaline nor acidic. It's neutral.
Yeah, but now, after it goes through this machine.
No, forget the machine. For
all right.
Okay. Water is neutral. Now, let's look at acid rain. Acid rain is rainwater that comes, and it is not neutral. It's minimally acidic, and it's because of basically environmental degradation, often from coal-fired power plants. Mm-hmm. That's acid rain. And that is not neutral. That is somewhat minimally acid. The water that comes out of your tap in America in 99% of the communities, well, maybe 95% of the communities, is completely neutral. Now, what about making water alkaline? And you can do that. You can do it by either adding base to the water. You know, you can do that by adding some base. You need a little bicarbonate of soda, for instance, into the water. That'll make it a little bit more basic. And that is a traditional remedy for GERD or for acid indigestion. You know, the old remedy was go down, get a teaspoon. I've done it. I remember when I was in college, I had a little bit too much to drink, a little bit too much to eat. I'd take a teaspoon of bicarbonate of soda. I'd belch once or twice and go back to sleep. I was usually a little hungover, so I really didn't stay up very much. But that's the treatment for acid indigestion. And you must have an electronic contraption, expensive, it works for you, that puts in some way some alkali into the water. I'm not sure how it works, but it puts alkali into the water. Now, do we really need that, and does it make a difference? Well, for you, it seems to work. And I don't think you have to force yourself to drink water. I'm of a completely different view of water now. Drink when you're thirsty. Don't drink when you're not thirsty, period. Water is not complex. When you're exercising, it's a different issue. When you're out in the sun and you're in the band and it's summertime and, you know, you can fall over because you don't have access to water or you're a runner, that's a different issue. But normal circumstances, trust your body, which is drink when you're thirsty, not drink when you're not thirsty. There's no such thing as flushing the kidneys. But for you, this alkalinization worked. Kind of expensive, $1,200. On the other hand, if you feel better with it, go for it. I think it's a good example of, I think, a complementary and alternative remedy that is not dangerous and that may improve your life. And if it allows you to eat those jalapeno peppers, go for it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the call at 800-462-7413. So, Zorba, what's this research on predicting the longevity of relationships?
Well, longevity or demise of a relationship.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be
nice
if you had a test you could take?
Yeah.
Maybe before you got married? That would be. But there are issues. You know, you look at the number of marriages that end in divorce and you go, well, you know, are there things that people could have with feedback? And are there predictability factors?
And when research is done about good marriages, usually it's done with 70-year-olds.
Yes,
who've had,
that's right.
You know,
or
40, 50 years.
Or 50-year-olds.
Yeah.
Or 40-year-olds who have been around for 10 years looking back. And that's very different from, can you do it when they're first starting their relationship and look forward for a few years. So what they did was they looked at pluses and minuses for and neutral words. So let me give an example.
These are volunteers.
These
who
are volunteers.
Showed up.
So I mean, you know, it's a study. I mean, this is not this is not the be all and the end all. But let's look at what they did. They looked at a couple hundred volunteers, and they gave them different ways of measuring things. Good, for example. So if you said something was good, it was associated with something positive. Vacation. Put the word vacation in front of you. Good. Sharing, good. Those were examples of words. This was a word game.
Yeah.
Bad were things like death. In other words, you would say that's bad. You know, what's your emotion associated with criticizing?
But
that's there are good words and bad words.
Yeah.
But then there are neutral words like, let's say for you, the word would be Tom. That's a neutral word.
That's not neutral. That's an excellent word.
If they rated, if the spouse rated Tom as an excellent word, in other words, thought that it was good, they took jazz. You like jazz.
Yeah.
Did the spouse think, and the spouse may not have liked, good or bad?
Oh,
motorcycles. You like motorcycles.
Yeah.
Is that associated with good or bad?
Yeah.
Hamburgers. I'm serious. Hamburgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fast food.
Yeah.
Fries. You know, certain traits that you did that would be ordinarily neutral.
Or you could word like boisterous or...
Boisterous.
Or very social.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Gregarious or introverted.
Yeah.
Likes, you know, reading books.
So you say whether you associate that with your partner or whether you don't.
But your partner does these traits, which would be normally neutral traits, and then the spouse rates them as good or bad, basically.
Yeah.
What
do
they think of them? They don't realize they're rating them. It's a word game. They have to say they're good or bad, essentially.
Okay.
Well, the ones who associated bad with many of the spouse's traits were less likely to be married a couple of years later than the ones who associated things that were good.
Yeah.
Now, on first thing, you say, well, that's pretty obvious. What does that mean? But these are people who actually were together and actually were in the process of, you know, getting hooked up and were married.
Looking forward to a long-time relationship.
Right, and they may have been associating bad words with their spouse. You go, now, what's going on? Why are they actually getting together?
Yeah.
So I find this fascinating because maybe you can begin to take a computerized test to help you say, you know, I'm really attracted to this person. Sometimes you're attracted to them, frankly, because of sex, right?
Yeah, right.
And sex may be fine. You may love the sex, and it might be everything else is bad.
Yeah.
In which case, you got to work on that if you're going to be with that spouse because you're associated. And that kind of that's what long-term relationships are.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think that in your – I mean, you've been married for quite a long time.
Yes.
And you work –
Very
things,
happily married.
Happily married. Yeah. No, and so have I.
Yeah.
But there are things about your spouse sometimes that you adjust to.
Sure.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
You no longer associate bad with it.
Here's an interesting thing to me about this study. These are volunteers.
Yes.
Now, what does it say when one partner says to the other, hey, there's a study here about whether we're going to have a long-time relationship or not. Let's go take that study. Doesn't that say something about a little doubt that might be going on?
Yes. I think you're right. 800, I think that may say something about that little doubt.
800-462-7413. 1-800-462-7413. On we go, Zorba, to a listener in Kingsport, Tennessee. Hi.
Hello.
How can we help you?
I was just curious. I've been Dippin's Cove for 26 years, and I've tried to quit several times. I get headaches. I just like to quit, but I can't seem to figure it out.
And so when you do it throughout the day, you do it as soon as you – when you get up in the morning, how soon is it before you start to chew?
As soon as I eat.
As soon as you eat, in other words. So basically early in the morning.
Yes.
Now, what have you tried? You've tried the patch and the gum? What have you tried with?
No, actually, I didn't try that because, well, my dentist told me that was for smoking, so.
Ah, I've got something for you. First of all, it turns out that chewing, you know, either chewing or using snuff can be just as difficult as smoking. I mean, smoking is much more popular, but both of them are just as difficult. There are a couple of things that you want to do to try to quit, and that's basically use nicotine replacement. And there are several different ways you do it. Number one is the patch. Some people like it because it's easy. They slap it on. It works well. They start with the highest strength, which is 21. And after a couple of weeks, they go to 14, and they go to number 7. And that basically tells how much nicotine is used in a 24-hour period. But generally, what I recommend for people who are either using snuff or smokeless tobacco is go to the gum. The Nicorette gum is awesome. It basically is going to give you a jolt of nicotine. Nicotine, just exactly like the snuff, just exactly like the chewing tobacco, but it is safe. And then people say, well, wait a minute, Doc, what are you talking about? This is safe. I'm using a gum with nicotine. It's not the nicotine in the gum that causes problems with cancer of the gums and the teeth and all the other issues. Basically, the nicotine turns out to be a safe way to deliver nicotine in the body and is much, much safer than the smokeless tobacco. And then for some people, what happens is naturally after 6 months to a year, they stop using the gum. Mm-hmm. For others, for about 3 to 5%, they use the gum forever. In other words, they chew the gum. And that's safer, frankly, than chewing the snuff and the tobacco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I would recommend. So wait a minute. So your dentist said the gum was for smoking?
Yes.
Well, your dentist was correct. The gum is for smoking, but the gum is also for smokeless tobacco at the same time.
Yeah.
And this will help keep away your headaches because those headaches can be awful, just awful.
Yes, and I'm a truck driver, so
you got to be doing something when you're in the truck. The Nicorette gum, buy the generic. Do not buy the name brand. Don't spend your money on the name brand. And only buy the high-strength gum. Only buy the gum that's the 4-milligram gum lozenges. That's what you buy. Some people don't like the taste, and what they do is they wrap it in regular gum. Whatever works for you, that would be my recommendation. And call us back and let us know if it works.
Okay, I will.
Thanks.
And just to answer your question, or not to answer your question, but that little survey y'all did on married people.
Yeah.
I've been married 18 years, and me and my wife are totally opposite.
So much for that study. Thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Zorba, before we break, you better get your water ready in case your tongue overheats during another edition of Rapid Fire. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Dan from Spring Green, Wisconsin leads off with a tanning question. He asks, I've been setting a timer and spend no more than 1 hour a day in the sun, 30 minutes on each side. I cook for a living. Am I cooking myself too much?
Yes, you are cooking yourself. Sun is bad, but a little bit of sun makes us feel good.
30 minutes each
side. That's a lot. That's not a little.
Next up is Pam from Milwaukee, who wants to know, are there any exercises that can be done at home for cell phone elbow?
Cell phone elbow. I recommend one exercise, and that is go to the store and buy yourself a Bluetooth. It's the best exercise for cell phone elbow.
Sheila steps up next, wondering what the humidity should be in your home for the best health.
Well, in the wintertime, the humidity should be such that the windows steam slightly and then you pull it back just a little bit. But in the summer, when it's hot and sultry, the best humidity in the house is no humidity at all.
Shanara from Winona, Minnesota can't reach her target heart rate even after 45 minutes of exercising. Should she be worried?
She should stop taking her heart rate and continue exercising. Don't get stuck on the number. Get stuck on the exercise.
Isabel from Jacksonville, Florida is a vegetarian and a finicky eater. She'd like to know where she can get her protein if she doesn't like fish or salads.
How about soy? Soy is a great way to get protein. How about peanut butter? That's a great way to get protein, too, and those are my suggestions.
Finally, Jean in Trenton, New Jersey heard us chatting about Georgia peaches and writes in to tell us, no disrespect to Georgia, but New Jersey produces some mighty fine peaches. They are fine this year, and he should know because he just finished eating one.
Mmm, good.
We're out of time for this edition of Rapid Fire, but make sure to get your question in for the next round. Just send your email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
We have our recipe coming up, a yummy recipe from the vault. More of your calls, of course, our medical myth buster and some more interesting research right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Tom Clark here with Dr. Zorba Pastor on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Our phone number, 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. But before our next call, it's recipe time now, Zorba, and we are set once again to scour our recipe archives to honor a listener request for our latest edition of Recipes from the Vault. Now, today's request comes to us from Sheila, who recently lost her handwritten copy of our featured recipe, salmon with pistachio basil olive oil. Do you believe anybody ever took down the recipe, hand wrote it as we were going along doing it?
Well, I still believe that some people actually have the ability to write.
Not me.
Yes, but no one's ever been able to read your writing. And me as a doctor, forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Sheila writes, at least 10 years ago, Zorba featured a baked salmon recipe. This is my never-fail quick favorite. I serve this with asparagus, home-baked bread, a fine salad, and a good Oregon wine, of course. Really, this should be reintroduced to old and new cooks. Well, Sheila, it took some serious digging, but we were able to find your recipe, and so now, over a decade later, is the encore presentation of salmon with pistachio basil olive oil.
Where are the trumpets? It's encore. I want the trumpet. Exactly. And also the vault, you know. I mean, it's the vault. We haven't had the
sometimes
vault.
Sometimes that gets a little old. But
you think so? Well, I don't know. You know, it didn't get old when I was like 14. I always thought, you know, shock theater in Chicago, encore presentation from the vault. But I when she wrote about this recipe, I'd forgotten totally about this. And we had a lot of requests in this recipe, and those were the days that we actually sent it out.
Yeah.
We had Gigi, who would actually send these out, and we had a lot of requests in this recipe. And you know what? This actually is a great recipe. Now,
well, what,
I'm not
the rest
saying
of them aren't any good.
No. You know, That's like when you tell somebody, hey, you look good today. Does that imply you look bad most of the other days? That is the negative way to look at life.
It kind of does, actually.
No, it does not. It means you look better today. Okay. You look good every day, but you look better some days.
Let's do this.
Come on. Get a life.
Salmon with pistachio basil olive oil.
That's right. Oh, start out with 1/4 cup of shelled pistachios.
1/4 cup shelled pistachios.
Yeah. If you use unshelled pistachios, you are not going to have a taste.
That's going to be hard.
That's going to be tough. It's got to be shelled pistachios. And pistachios are what really make this special. So you could probably do it with pine nuts. That'd probably be good, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
10 large basil leaves, nice fresh basil leaves.
10 large basil leaves.
Now, in the summer, I try to grow the basil in a pot, in a pot or in a planter outside. Mm-hmm. So I always have some basil leaves around. And I try to do it in the winter, but I tend to fail. But in the summer, I've got them. Mm-hmm. 4 garlic cloves.
4 garlic cloves.
You can use more if you want to. I don't think there ever is such a thing as too much garlic myself. 3 tablespoonfuls of extra virgin olive oil.
3 big tea extra virgin olive oil.
1 teaspoon lime juice fresh. Do not use reconstituted. If you're going to spend money on the salmon, spend 50 cents more on the lime.
1 little tea lime juice.
That's right. 6 6-ounce salmon fillets about 1.5 inches thick.
6 6-ounce salmon fillets about 1.5 inches thick.
That's right. 1/2 cup of dry white wine.
1/2 cup of dry white wine.
Now, Tom, you know what white – when I use white wine, what do I use? I've talked about it close.
Vermouth.
Very good. Excellent. Yeah. Because it lasts forever.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about forever, but it lasts for a long time. And I use Gallo vermouth. Why? I do not have stock in Gallo.
It's cheap.
But cooks – it's cheap. That's right. Exactly. It's cheap. That's right. Gallo vermouth. Thank you. Thanks for doing that.
Sure.
Vegetable cooking spray.
Vegetable cooking spray. Mm-hmm.
Vegetable cooking spray. And you're going to use paprika. Mm-hmm. And salt and pepper.
Okay.
Now, something about paprika. When you buy paprika in the store, buy a small container of paprika because it tends to dry out over a 6-month to 1-year period, and then it tends to be tasteless. And good paprika is generally a Hungarian paprika because that's sort of the spice du jour in Hungary. All right, let's make it. Mm-hmm. In a food processor or blender, a blender would be fine. Finely chop the pistachios, pistachio nuts, the basil leaves, and garlic. Then add the olive oil, the teaspoon of lime juice, and process until it's well mixed. Season with salt and pepper to taste. Mm-hmm. Transfer the mixture to a small bowl and refrigerate so it's well chilled. Why are you going to chill it in the refrigerator? So it solidifies just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Still well chilled. Turn on the oven to 400 degrees mm-hmm. and then coat a 9 by 13 inch baking dish with cooking spray and place the salmon fillets in a nice single layer in the baking dish. Don't overlap them. Pour the wine over the fillets and sprinkle the top with a little salt, a little pepper, and a little paprika and bake it for 10 minutes. Okay, so it's partially mm-hmm. baked. Then spread 2 tablespoonfuls of olive oil mixture over each fillet and bake until the salmon is just opaque in the center. That's about another 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So the pistachios are only going to be baked during half of that time. It gives a little crusty flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good. It's got basil in it. It's got pistachio in it. It's got olive oil in it. And it's salmon, which is my favorite fish. And it's only 290 calories for each fillet. It's cheap from a caloric point of view. And get this, it's got 2/3 of the protein you need for your entire day.
That's great.
2/3 of the protein. The oil is good oil. The pistachios taste good. I mean, to me, this is a good example of a heart-healthy recipe that's tasty.
Yeah, it sounds delicious.
Yeah, tasty.
I love your instruction. Turn on the oven.
Right, unique,
isn't it? That's like me saying, go to the computer.
A call to action. Turn on the oven.
If there's a recipe you feel deserves an encore performance, let us know about it, and it might just end up being our next recipe from the vault. Simply send the name of the recipe in an email to
Zorba@wpr.org.
And if you want a copy of today's recipe, visit our website at
ZorbaPastor.org. Or you can come to our website and go to our wonderful section that is entitled Podcast and sign up for our weekly podcast. Or you can search all of our wonderful recipes in our archive. That's ZorbaPastor.org.
800-462-7413, our toll-free number, 1-800-462-7413. Now, Zorba, a listener in Brightsville, Tennessee. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help you?
Well, that's what I think is kind of an unusual situation, in that whenever I eat spicy foods, it doesn't have to be hot and spicy, just foods with lots of spices in them, I tend to sweat a lot. And it can often be embarrassing, especially if you're out to dinner with friends or whatever, and you eat something that even like with just black pepper, then I sweat profusely.
Hmm. And this has been going on your whole life?
Pretty much, but I've noticed that probably in the last 5 years or so, that it seems to have gotten worse, like maybe I'm becoming more sensitized to certain spices or things. But it, like I said, it doesn't have to be like anything the hot, like, you know, jalapeno peppers or anything like that. It can just be like, you know, like I said, black pepper or certain kinds of herbs and spices.
When you go out and do this, do you often have a drink? Any alcohol involved?
Sometimes, but like if I know that I'm going out with friends and I don't want to sit there and go, you know, be sweating the whole time and have all my friends staring at me, then I'll usually just drink water instead.
And does that help?
Doesn't seem to make much difference.
Oh, it doesn't seem to make much difference. So in other words, because sometimes alcohol will do it itself. With alcohol,
I've noticed that when I drink alcohol that it tends to be worse, so sometimes I avoid it just for that reason.
That's right. Have a flush reaction. What have you done for this? Have you tried anything?
I have not.
Okay, I've got a couple of suggestions of what you might do. By the way, the sweating with certain foods is not unusual. It turns out to be much, much more common. Gustatory sweating, that's a nice fancy word that allows doctors to identify it, give it a scientific name, and charge for it on their insurance. No, I'm joking. That's probably what it is. There are codes for everything. But it's called gustatory sweating, and sometimes there are things you can do. Number one, you can try an antihistamine. See whether or not that will work. Like you said, it's when you're going out with friends that's an issue. What I would do is take over-the-counter Claritin, a 10-milligram tablet. That's what they're made in, but I would take 20 or 30 milligrams. I don't think the 10 will do it. And I would see if that works. If that doesn't work, I would add an aspirin to that, a full-strength aspirin, because sometimes it's a prostaglandin inhibitor, and sometimes that will help. And if that fails, I'd call your doctor for something called Singular, S-I-N-G-U-L-A-R. It's a drug used in asthma, and it's also used in allergies, and sometimes that works by itself or with the aspirin and with the over-the-counter antihistamine. And basically, you're trying to get rid of the overzealous response that your body has in terms of sort of putting out certain things that occur that you're trying to block. And this sweat reaction is really sort of, if you will, it's not really an allergy, but it's a cascade that is very similar to an allergy cascade of biochemically of what is occurring in your body, and the same cascade basically that's activated when you exercise. I want to go back for a second, though. I want to picture this. You're sitting with some friends. You're having some good meal. You're in a restaurant. Everyone else is fine, and you're dripping with sweat. What do you say?
It's embarrassing, and I've told, you know, most of my friends are used to it by now, but they'll try a dish and they'll be eating it and they'll say, Jerry, you wouldn't like this. This will make you sweat.
That'll make you sweat.
So they're kind of used to it by now.
Yeah, they're used to it. Well, good luck. I think you can do this, and I would try that out. And of course, even if you do, are successful, always go out to eat with a washcloth at your side so you can wipe yourself off.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
I appreciate your help.
We appreciate the call. In the relationship test, they could have used the word sweat to see how...
Yeah, and see whether or not they would say happy. That's right. Associated with something good. Yeah, you're stuck on this, you see. You're stuck on this. That's right. Sweat, I think of joy with my partner when I think of sweat.
800-462-7413. 1-800-462-7413.
I mean, that is the secret of a long, sweet relationship. Always to associate joy and happiness with everything your spouse does. And honey, I hope you're listening to this particular broadcast.
Let's stroll over now to the Zorba Pastor on Your Health inbox, Zorba, and take this quick question from Emily in Galena, Illinois, who's having some issues with her home garden. She writes, I have a variety of greens in my garden. A few weeks ago, I prepared some sautéed Swiss chard as part of our meal, and within 45 minutes of eating, I had violent stomach cramps. I could do nothing but go to bed. The pain was so bad. I was fine the next morning. Earlier in the year, I had prepared a mixture of stir-fried vegetables, including some Swiss chard, and I had the same problem, but I didn't really connect it to the Swiss chard until the second incident. What could be in the Swiss chard that would cause my system to react so violently?
It's kind of interesting. I mean, Swiss chard, I've just been thinking of the word. Where do you think the word chard comes from? It's such a strange word, Swiss chard.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Do you like Swiss chard? Well, do you happen to like it? It has a bitter type of taste
to
it.
She doesn't care whether I like it. She wants an answer to her question.
I'm stuck with the grammar police. I'm thinking of the derivation of the word chard. I got to get back on the health aspect of it. Obviously, there's something in the Swiss chard. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I know that Swiss chard has certain elements that produce that sort of bitter taste. It's not an off taste, but it's a somewhat bitter taste that people like it. I happen to like Swiss chard, and some people don't like it at all. And it may be a reaction. It may be a reaction to that. It's happened twice, so that makes me think it really is the Swiss chard. But often when people have food reactions, it's really not the food. It's other things that have gone on. And usually I tell them, do it three times. I mean, now that may seem like hit me again. And, sort of a stupid
try
thing.
Try it one more time.
Well, I think I would. I think my recommendation is if you like Swiss chard, I would try it one more time. But I would frankly try it in a very, very small amount in a very simple way. I might even eat it raw or I might saute it with just a little bit. And I might just literally have one or two tablespoonfuls, just a small amount, see if I get that same reaction. But I wouldn't eat a big bunch of Swiss chard to see if that's it. We do have individual tolerances to food. There are individual differences. Mm-hmm. Some people can eat one fruit and they can't eat the other fruit. Some people can are allergic to all types of seafood. Others, a good friend of ours, are allergic only to scallops. And you have to respect it. There's something in the chard that's doing it. I don't know what it is. It's possible that one of our listeners will.
Yeah, and to answer your earlier question, which I avoided, I don't think I've ever had Swiss chard.
Oh, Swiss chard. It's this big leafy sort of a green. It's very seasonal in the summer, very popular in the summer, somewhat bitter, and it has an interesting taste. Usually sautéed. We sauté it in olive oil or butter, and I think it's quite good. But like Brussels sprouts, it has a distinct taste that some people like and some people abhor.
If some other green is giving you the blues, or if you have another lifestyle question, send it to the show in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
Some really interesting research coming up. More of your calls and, of course, our medical myth buster later here on Zorba Pasture on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pasture here on Zorba Pasture on Your Health. Line is open for you if you have a question for Zorba. That toll-free number is 800-462-7413. But before we take our next call, Zorba, some really important information on vitamin D levels.
Yes. Let's talk about vitamin D. First of all, vitamin D, once we learned how to irradiate milk, which was really discovered at the University of Wisconsin back 100 years ago, which put vitamin D in milk, we eliminated rickets in this country. And there's no rickets around. That's vitamin D early on in life. But we've now discovered that vitamin D later on in life is really important. We know that people with low levels of vitamin D are more likely to have fractures, osteoporosis, and die. Mm-hmm. Osteomalacia, you don't develop the right type of calcium in bones. We know that other chronic diseases now are associated with low vitamin D levels, and this is a study looking at brain power.
And this is new information.
New information, really important. It's estimated that 40 to 50%, some estimate even 100%, especially of older adults living in nursing homes, are vitamin D deficient. They have low vitamin D levels, and the question is, what is that associated with? And they now are looking at vitamin D levels and the ability to think. Now, when we look at thinking, it's not just, going down into the basement and, I forgot what I'm getting get or forgetting somebody's name. We're talking about focusing and something called executive function, the ability to take in information and make a decision. Yes, I want to go to the store because let's have dinner and I want to go to a show. You know, stuff that we actually do every day. And they looked at participants who had low vitamin D levels – The ones with super low vitamin D levels were 60% more likely to have a cognitive decline over a six-year period. 60% more likely. So in other words, they measured their vitamin D level. These are senior citizens. Nearly 1,000 seniors, 65 and older, looked at them over a six-year period. They had declines in their ability to make executive decisions of somewhere between 30 and 60%.
And it says here that 40 to 100% of older adults are lacking.
Well, it depends on how you measure the vitamin D levels. And like I said, 100%, these would be adults in nursing homes. Think about it. They don't get outside. They don't drink milk. Where they can get their vitamin D. A lot of them are not on a vitamin and not getting enough. But what we need is, this is a really important issue. And the reason is dementia, when we look at dementia, we call it Alzheimer's. But frankly, it's not just half of all dementia is not Alzheimer's. It's called multi-infarct dementia. It's due to little strokes that are going on in the brain and other forms of dementia. It may be that lots of dementia in senior citizens is due to a vitamin D deficiency. So I think this is very interesting data. And my recommendation is everybody should be on 1,000 to 2,000 units of vitamin D a day, especially if they're a senior citizen. It may keep your brain healthy, wealthy, and wise.
That number again is 800-462-7413. And a Boise, Idaho listener joins us now. Hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Fine. How can we help you?
Well, I have a question for Judge Zorba, actually.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
I've been having a little ongoing debate with my girlfriend about hiccups. And she thinks that they're kind of just a natural process, which I guess they are in a way. But she'll just let them basically run their course.
Mm-hmm.
And I, on the other hand, it's kind of uncomfortable and I don't really like them, so I'm able to stop them fairly quickly by holding my breath. And so I was just wondering, are they okay? Should we stop them? What should we do about hiccups?
You know, hiccups are basically an irritation of a nerve. It's the phrenic nerve that kind of runs around the stomach, by the stomach. Little babies, you know, whenever you see little babies, they always seem to have, boop, you know, those little hiccups. You know, and they always look cute in little babies because they kind of are, they have this, they have a hiccup and they look funny. And in adults, we clearly don't like it. And certain things will often bring up hiccups. My wife, Penny, loves hot food. I mean, she puts pepper on everything, but pepper isn't hot enough. She'll have jalapenos and other hot, spicy food. And as soon as she has hot, spicy food, her eyes often tear, she sweats, and she gets hiccups. And so she loves it. But it's associated with the food. And then she'll stop eating for a few minutes until basically she can get rid of the hiccups. Holding your breath, great way to stop hiccups, of course. There are lots of other ways. But it's not bad for you to have hiccups. It's just uncomfortable. And frankly, there's some people with hiccups that don't stop. And
they go on for like weeks sometimes.
They go on for weeks. And those people actually, we sometimes had to put on medication to stop their hiccups. Now, so she hiccups all of the time?
No, it's just kind of here and there. It just kind of pops up. Usually, actually, when we're eating, she likes spicy food, as do I. So we both experience hiccups when we're eating something hot, either Thai food or whatever else, Mexican or whatever. But she'll actually stop eating and she'll sit there for a few minutes or 5 minutes and just kind of let them go. And whenever I do it, I just stop them right away.
You stop them right away. Well, the reality is she stops and takes the time. And so if you're eating hot and spicy food, this allows you to eat in the more European way of relaxing and enjoying the food. It's more of the slow food movement versus the fast food movement.
Yeah.
And so here it is. You're on one side where I'll just hold my breath and stop the hiccups and keep on eating. And she's on the other side. But that's what makes good food. And obviously, you're not about to give up your hot, spicy food in order to not have hiccups, so.
No, definitely not.
Well, enjoy the spice and enjoy the difference between the two of you in stopping those hiccups.
And thank you so much. Thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Well, Zorba, let's get to this week's medical myth buster now. Today's myth stems from the old advice insomniacs know all too well. Try counting sheep to help you sleep. But does this method really work?
Nope. That's it. No, thank you very much. Next question. No, it really doesn't work. Studies have shown that counting sheep, which is kind of boring, the idea, of course, is to turn down
bore
your...
Have you ever
tried?
Sleep.
Have you ever tried to count sheep?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, how long do you last?
I con forever.
You go on forever?
It doesn't put me to sleep.
That's it doesn't put you to sleep at all. It's like one, two... I don't know about you, but I've never seen sheep jump over a fence except in cartoons.
Well, the other myth is counting backwards, which I'm guessing doesn't
counting
work.
Backwards from 199, 98. It doesn't work either. No. You have to concentrate on the numbers. But what does work is thinking of pleasant scenes.
Oh.
So scenes that are pleasant. That does help people get to sleep. Scenes of the beach, scenes of wonderful sunsets or things like that.
Oh, really?
Versus concentrating on the bad things that are going on in the day. And the data also shows, interestingly enough, that if you concentrate on intimate relationships, they tend to keep you awake and not put you to sleep.
Well, that's not a shock.
And I know that's not a shock at all. That's not a shock at all. And it goes back to our word game. See, you might associate positive things or negative things with those intimate relationships. But when it comes to sleep, you want it to be neutral.
Okay. If you're counting on us to bust your myth, you should send it to the show in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org. Bah.
Oh. 800-462-7413 is the toll-free number, 1-800-462-7413. And Zorba, a listener with us now in Sandpoint, Idaho. Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm going to tell you my age. I'm 61, and for the past 2.5 years, I've started having migraine headaches. And they're cyclic. They're like once a month, all the time, and they last 48 hours.
48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What have you done for them?
Well, I'm on fluoxetine, 20 milligrams, and in my research I found that was good. Mm-hmm. The fluoxetine could help migraines.
And fluoxetine is Prozac, by the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I've read that it could be hormonal.
Mm-hmm. But at your age, you've gone through menopause, I take it?
I had my uterus and my ovaries and tubes removed many years ago.
Okay.
So I'm on an estradiol patch, 0.05 milligrams.
Mm-hmm. Has that helped?
I've only been on it for 3 months, and I've had the headaches for the past 3 months.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I need to wait longer.
Well, if you've been on it, has it reduced it? Have your headaches have not changed?
No, they have not.
Okay, they have not changed. By the way, Prozac is not a common drug given for migraines. Beta blockers are common. Anti-epileptic drugs such as Topamax are common. Taking a daily leave once or twice a day. Who gave you these drugs, the Prozac?
The Prozac was not for... it was diagnosed for depression, not for the headache.
Mm-hmm.
But in my research that I had read that perhaps the serotonin helped with reducing migraines.
Well, the issue with migraines are this, and actually the issue with headaches, is you look at drugs that sort of improve your well-being, such as Prozac if you feel better. You look at foods that may trigger it.
Right.
And if that doesn't work, then you go through with your doctor the litany, basically, of medications you can go through with migraines. But I tell people, try it for a month or 2 months. If it doesn't work, stop taking it. See if things get worse. And if you wonder, start again. In other words, take it for a month or two, stop it for a month or two, take it for a month or two, stop it for a month or two and see if it works. It sounds like the estrogen patch is not doing much. If it's not, I'd stay away from it. But it sounds like the Prozac may be working, and so I'd stay with it. So good luck. Good luck with your headaches. They can be tough. I'm a headache sufferer, so I understand what you're going through.
Okay. There's no other option, huh?
Well, there are a lot of other options, and I think sitting with your doctor and going through the litany of medications, there are a number of medications that are actually quite good for migraines. There are lots of options for migraine sufferers, but what you want to do is sit down and go through the various classes of drugs and then try them with your physician. But if you're still having migraines, no, quite the contrary. There are some very good options on the market, including doing a headache diary and discussing that with your physician and finding out what the triggers are.
Okay.
So thank you so much. Thank you.
We appreciate the call. 1-800-462-7413 is our toll-free number. 800-462-7413. Well, Zorba, before we check out for the week, it's time for another citation from the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Grammar Police.
Another ticket. Don't I have enough already? I've been paying this off year after year after year.
Today's complaint might register you as a repeat offender because I think we've covered this one in the past. It comes to us from Deputy Ann, who takes issue with your plural of tablespoon. Anne writes, the word is tablespoon. Therefore, the plural is tablespoons, not tablespoonfuls. I would think X tablespoons would be sufficient. The fulls is redundant. I'm not even sure that fulls is a word. This makes what little hair I have left curl every time I hear you say it. However.
Yes. Oh, however. So this is the good news. However.
Yeah.
Okay.
According
okay,
to
I'll take any good news I can.
According to the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary.
Okay, cool.
The
ready.
Word
I'm ready.
Tablespoonful has two plural options. Tablespoonfuls and tablespoonsful. So you might be cleared on this charge, Zorba. Sounds like it's okay to say tablespoonfuls as long as you say it in one word without saying tablespoons
full. You know something? My head is swimming.
If you catch Zorba with his tongue in the grammar cookie jar, send your citation to the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Grammar Police. To join them, send your citation in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
See you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom.
Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. Adam Friedrich and Brad Kohlberg, the Ryan Seacrest and Simon Cowell of WPR. Which one of you is Seacrest and which one of you is... They're pointing at each other for both of them. Are the two idols responsible for getting...
Idols, I love it.
Adam Friedrich is our executive producer. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, hoping you'll join us for the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Copies of today's show are available through the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program number 0731Z. More on healthy living, including heart-healthy recipes, podcasts, show archives, and listener feedback, is available online at ZorbaPastor.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.